This morning, we are going to continue in our summer series where we're taking a Christ-centered approach to the Psalms. And so, if you have your Bibles, please go ahead, open up to Psalm 4, as this is a psalm that we are going to study today. Psalm 4 is written by David, and it is a psalm of trust, or a psalm of confidence. And in this psalm, David is in a major crisis. And scholars suggest that the historical context, the background of the psalm is in either one of two scenarios. Either this is when King Saul was persecuting David and seeking to kill him, or it is when David's own son Absalom is rebelling against him and also seeking to kill him and take the throne for himself. So regardless of which circumstance it is, David in Psalm 4 is in distress. His life is in danger. He's being persecuted, and he's also being slandered unjustly. But somehow in the midst of these terrible circumstances, David is able to find rest in the Lord. And this begs the question for us this morning, how are we able to find rest in the Lord when we are in conflicts and hardships, especially when we are being persecuted unjustly? So today our psalm helps us answer this question. So if you would go ahead and open up your Bibles to Psalm 4, if you're not already there, let's go ahead and read God's word. It says this, starting in verse 1. Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have given me relief when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. O men, how long shall my honor be turned into shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? But know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him. Be angry and do not sin. Ponder in your own hearts, on your beds, and be silent. Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. There are many who say, who will show us some good? Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound. In peace, I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. This is God's holy and perfect word. Would you please pray with me? Heavenly Father, this morning we just... we come to you asking that your Holy Spirit would guide us and teach us in your truth. That your Holy Spirit would open our hearts to receive your word and what you'd have us learn today. Amen. There is this poem that I first read in elementary school that is written by a man named Shel Silverstein, and it's called Smart. And the poem, it starts off like this. It says, my dad gave me $1 bill because I'm his smartest son. And I swapped it for two shiny quarters because two is more than one. And the poem, I won't read it all, but then just to summarize it, this boy, thinking that he is smart, goes on to swap his two shiny quarters for three dimes, because three is more than two. And he swaps his three dimes for four nickels, because four is more than three. And lastly, he swaps his four nickels for five pennies, because five is more than four. And the poem ends by saying this. He says, and then I went and showed my dad, and he got red in the cheeks, and he closed his eyes and shook his head, too proud of me to speak. So, it is a humorous poem about a boy who thinks he's getting a good deal by trading for a larger quantity of coins. But what the boy, of course, does not realize is that he's actually losing money throughout the poem. And this is because even though he's getting more coins, he doesn't realize that the dollar that he started with or the coins that he's giving away are worth far more than the coins that he is receiving. And so while he may have ended up with 5 coins, his net worth decreases from $1 or 100 cents to 5 cents. Now, while this is a silly and a funny poem, it paints a very accurate picture of what we often do when we're in conflicts or trying circumstances. We, just like this boy, fail to understand the value of what we have in the Lord. And when this happens, it often leads us to settle for something that is far less. Let me explain this another way. When I was in high school one summer, the pine trees in my parents' backyard caught some sort of fungus or disease, and it ended up killing the pine trees. And so one morning, my mother asked me if I would cut down the pine trees. And so I went into the garage and looked around for something that I could cut down these pine trees with, and the only thing that I could find is a hacksaw. Now, if you don't know what a hacksaw is, it's basically a fine tooth blade that's set in a frame, and you manually have to move your arm back and forth to cut. And so I knew cutting down these pine trees, which weren't small pine trees, by the way, and then breaking them down into small logs was going to take me pretty much the whole day. And it ended up taking me about 4 to 6 hours to cut down all these pine trees. But let me ask you this, how silly would it have been, or how ridiculous would it have been, if that morning when I went to my garage, I had the choice between a hacksaw and a chainsaw, and I chose the hacksaw? That would have been incredibly silly, incredibly ridiculous. Let me put this into perspective for you. If I would have had a chainsaw, it would have taken me about 30 or 45 minutes tops with minimal effort. But for some reason, all of us in life, even though the chainsaw is the obvious choice, the easier choice, we all seem to settle for the hacksaw. For instead of resting and trusting in God to solve our problems, we spend grueling days with our hacksaw, settling for something less to get us through life's difficulties. So today, as we look at Psalm 4, we're going to look at 4 reasons why God is better than anything else we can rest in the midst of these difficulties and conflicts in life. And so the first thing that we see, the first reason why God is better, is that his affirmation is better than man's affirmation. So let me explain what I mean by this. If you still have your Bibles open to Psalm 4, take a look at the first 3 verses with me again. I'm going to go ahead and read them again. Starting in verse 1, it says, "Answer me when I call, O God of my righteousness. You have given me relief when I was in distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. O men, how long shall my honor be turned into shame? How long will you love vain words and seek after lies? But know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself. The Lord hears when I call to him." So in these first several verses, what we see is that David is in distress. People are slandering his good name and reputation. They're telling lies. They're condemning him and proclaiming him guilty of all these wrongs that he has not done. Now, even though we're not in this specific circumstance that David is in, we can all relate to how painful it is when people speak ill about us. We can all relate to how hurtful it is when someone slanders us, or even when someone puts us down for doing the right thing. So the question that we must ask ourselves this morning is, when we are in hardships, where do we seek our affirmation? Is it in God? Or is it in man? And this is why I believe we can learn a lot from how David responds to the situation. David very easily could have let these lies and words bring him to despair. He could have very easily let these words wound him deeply. He could have spent all of his time trying to change what others thought of him. But in the midst of this hardship, David does not base his worth on the affirmation of man, but on the affirmation of God. This is what David takes comfort in. And this is what we see in verse 3. In verse 3, David tells his enemies to know that God, even though these enemies are seeking after these lies and slandering his good name, that all is well. And the reason that all is well is because he is a child of God who the Lord loves and who the Lord looks upon with favor. That's what it says in verse 3. He says, "But know that the Lord has set apart the godly for himself." In other words, the Lord has claimed a people for his own, that he protects, that he watches over, that he looks after. And because of this, David has the confidence to say, "When I call to the Lord hears me." So even though it was most likely incredibly painful for David to have these people speak all this ill about him, God's affirmation is the most important thing to him. Because he knows, as I said, that he is a beloved child of God. And knowing that is enough. It is all he needs. Because as long as he has God's affirmation, all is well. Let me illustrate this. This past week, as I mentioned earlier this morning, I was in Colorado with the high schoolers on our summer conference. And the worship director at the conference told a story that really stuck with me. He told a story of when he was growing up in school, and at the end of the day, one time, he wrote a note in the middle of class, and it was a silly note, and the teacher found it, and he got in trouble. And the teacher said that he was going to have to go see the principal the next day. Now, what terrified the worship director the most was that he was going to have to tell his dad about what had happened, how he'd got in trouble for writing this note in class, and that he was going to have to see the principal the next day. And so he's very nervous, and when he comes home, and his dad comes home from work, he tells his dad everything. He tells his dad he got in trouble, what was on the note, he's going to have to see the principal. And to his shock and surprise, his dad laughed. His dad thought the note was harmless and said, "Don't worry about it." And he describes how this huge weight was lifted off his chest because he didn't even care what the principal was going to tell him tomorrow. He didn't even care what his teacher was going to say because he knew that because things were good with his dad, he was in the clear. All was well. And in the same way, the most important relationship in our life is our Father. Our Father in heaven. And even though it's hurtful when people slander us, when people condemn us, at the end of the day, the only thing that matters is our Father's affirmation. Because in God, we find our life. In God, we find our salvation. We find our purpose, our peace, our well-being. We find our everything. So if things are good with God, all is well. But can the same be said about man's affirmation? Not at all. When we base our worth on the affirmation of others, we are only making ourselves slaves to their approval. We will never be happy or content. Instead, we will spend countless, grueling hours trying to be liked, trying to fit in, trying to be successful, trying to be respected, trying to be cool. And we will constantly be disappointed and wounded by the words of others because we allow them to have such power and influence in our life. And to make matters worse, the satisfaction of man's approval that we seek after is always elusive. It's like searching for a snipe in a snipe hunt. Right? This is because the satisfaction and fulfillment that we seek to receive from man's affirmation was never there to begin with. It is only a mirage that we spend countless hours looking for. This is why when we seek man's affirmation instead of God's affirmation, we are clearly settling for something less. Because God's affirmation is better than man's affirmation. And this leads us to our second point, the second reason why it is better to rest in God, in that God's avenues are better than man's avenues. Let me explain what I mean by this. When you take a look at verses 4 through 5 in Psalm 4, David says this. He says, "Be angry and do not sin. Ponder in your own hearts and on your beds and be silent. Offer right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord." In these two verses, David is exhorting his enemies to repent of their sins, to examine their hearts, to worship the Lord correctly, and to put their faith in Him. And the reason David is exhorting his enemies to do this is because his enemies are seeking their own avenues instead of God's. They do not care about doing what is right. They only care about doing what they want. And so they respond and act according to their own ways and desires. And I think this is a really good reminder for us, especially when we are in conflicts and hardships as well. For how easy is it for us when we are wronged to take matters into our own hands? How easy is it for us when we are wronged to completely ignore God's avenues and only focus on our own? And it really doesn't take long to think of an example of how we regularly take avenues when we're wronged. The easiest one that I can think of is when we're driving and someone cuts us off. The words that come out of our mouth, the thoughts we think in our head, the actions that follow, are they God's avenues? At least for most of us, they're not. But it doesn't just relate to driving. I think any time we are wronged, we quickly resort to our own sinful avenues. When someone insults us, when someone slights us, when someone forgets about us, when someone fails to recognize us, when someone says those snarky comments that get under our skin or is rude to us, what is our first reaction? And I think this is why we can learn a lot from Psalm 4 today. Because in the midst of hardships, in the midst of trials, when we are wronged, we are called to refrain from our own avenues. We are called to take God's. For as the psalm says, it is possible to be angry and not sin. This is why David says, "Be angry and do not sin." Psalm 4 also causes us to meditate on our ways, on our thoughts, on our actions. It calls us to repent of our sinfulness and to seek the Lord's will and not our own. And also, don't miss this, it calls us to trust that God is our judge, so that no matter how many times we are wronged, no matter how rude someone is to us, no matter how many times we're sinned against, no matter how bad a situation gets, we're to trust that God's avenues are enough. And it's not hard to see that God's avenues are better than our avenues. Our avenues are laced with sin, with pride, with vengeance. But God's are full of grace, love, mercy, repentance, and forgiveness. Because of this, when we're in conflicts, where we're being wronged, we must not settle for something less. Because God's avenues are better than our own. This leads us to the third reason. We must also trust in the Lord in times of conflict, because God's abundance is better than man's abundance. In Psalm 4, verses 6 through 7, we read this. David says, "There are many who say, 'Who will show us some good? Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord. You have put more joy in my heart than they have when their grain and wine abound.'" In these two verses, we see that David is making a stark contrast between two types of people. And these two types of people are this: those who find their satisfaction in the Lord, and those who find their satisfaction in the world. And David starts by saying that the worldly, they're always asking, from where will we find our good? Who will show us some good? In other words, the worldly are always looking where they will find some satisfaction, some joy from. But this is different from the godly. For the godly know where their satisfaction and joy comes from. And this is why David says it in the second half of verse 6. He says, "Lift up the light of your face upon us, O Lord." David knows his joy comes from the Lord. And this is where he's seeking it. In verse 7, David continues this contrast, though, still. He states that the worldly seek their satisfaction in pleasant circumstances. Pleasant circumstances when wine and grain abound. But the godly know that their satisfaction and joy comes from the Lord. And it not only comes from the Lord, but it is far better than the satisfaction that comes from pleasant circumstances. And I think we can discover several things as we think about these two verses. And the first is a big temptation for us when we're in conflicts, when we're in hardships, is to let these circumstances dictate our joy. Let me say that again. I think a big temptation for us when we are in conflicts and hardships is to let these circumstances dictate our joy. It is very easy in life to become the victim of circumstances, to allow the circumstances to have power in our lives and over our well-being. If David would have allowed this to happen, would he be joyful right now? Absolutely not. He would be crushed. He would be in despair. David's life right now in this text, it's terrible. Right? No one wants to trade places with David right now. As we said, he's being persecuted. He's being hunted. He's being slandered. Yet in the midst of these really terrible times for David, he is able to have this unspeakable joy. Why? Because his relationship with the Lord and the joy and the peace that comes from finding our ultimate satisfaction in him is far greater than anything else. And so this morning, we must ask ourselves, do we allow the circumstances to dictate our joy? Or are we able to rest perfectly content and joyful in the Lord in good times and bad? Because our joy in the Lord and our relationship with him is so profound, is so strong, so fulfilling, and so abundant that it triumphs any circumstance that may come our way. Secondly, I think we can also discover in these verses that in times of conflict, it is also a temptation for us to settle for a lesser joy. In these verses, David shows that the joy of the Lord is greater than when wine and grain abound. But why does he say this? Well, he says it because we often are content to settle for the lesser joys in this life. After all, there are thousands of things that are calling out to us, seeking to distract us, seeking to lure us away from finding our ultimate joy in the Lord. Things like television, Netflix, shopping, material goods, social media. smartphones, sports, lust, alcohol, you name it, the list could keep on going. And the reason it's so easy to settle for these lesser joys is because they make themselves so readily available to us. But none of these things can truly satisfy or compare with the joy of the Lord that we as believers have. So we do not need to trade our dollar for lesser coins. We do not need to settle for a hacksaw when we can have a chainsaw. We simply need to rest in the abundance of God that we already possess. We already possess. So the Lord's abundance is far greater than man's abundance. And this leads us to the fourth reason why God is better than anything else. And this is the fact that God's assurance is better than man's assurance. Take a look at the last verse of this psalm, verse 8. It says this, "In peace I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety." This is pretty remarkable. As we've been talking about this whole morning, David is in terrible circumstances. His life is being threatened, yet he's able to lie down in complete peace and sleep. I mean, I don't know about you, but I often lose sleep over a lot of lesser things than that. So how can David sleep in such peace in the midst of these circumstances? Well, David tells us. In verse 8, he says, "For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety." What David has discovered is that the Lord's security is greater than anything this world can provide. It is greater than the tallest walls, the largest armies, the most advanced weapons, the best guards this world can provide. Yet do we truly believe this? I think this is something that we really struggle with. And this is why our biggest problem is not that our problems are too big. Our biggest problem is not our view of our problems being too big. Our biggest problem is that our view of God is too small. For example, when I was growing up, the first time I went skiing, it was in Snow Creek in Weston, Missouri. And I remember looking down the Black Diamond Run. I don't know what I was doing on it my first time skiing. But I remember looking down it, thinking this was the biggest, steepest, fastest hill I had ever seen in my life. I couldn't imagine anything being bigger or scarier than this hill in Weston, Missouri. Obviously, I was incredibly naive because I had never been to Colorado or anywhere else for that matter that actually had real mountains. And because of this, seeing this hill in Weston, Missouri at Snow Creek, I thought I knew what big was. Of course, this all changed though in middle school when I went on a church ski trip to Colorado for the first time. I wish you could have seen my eyes. My eyes could not have been bigger. I was standing at the foot of the mountain like, we are going to go down this thing? I mean, the Bunny Hill in Colorado was bigger and scarier than the Black Diamond at Snow Creek. It took like almost an hour to get up the mountain because the lifts went so high. My mind was absolutely blown. Because I had this newfound appreciation of how much greater and grander and more majestic the mountains were than the hills of Snow Creek. I was in awe. It was an incredible experience that I will never forget. But in a similar way, our problem is that we often feel like we've been able to size God up. We often think we've been able to wrap our mind around what God can do and can't do. We think we know what big is. But the truth of the matter is, we are incredibly naive to the greatness, to the vastness, to the majesty of God. Our problem is that we have this little tiny Snow Creek perception of God. And we have no idea that God is so much bigger than anything else we've ever experienced or imagined. And this is where we can learn a lot from Psalm 4. In this psalm, we see that David's view of God is not too small. Instead, he knows that God is completely sovereign, that God is completely in control. Therefore, even though he has big problems on his hand, he does not worry or settle for a lesser solution. Instead, he knows that his God is bigger, that his God is greater. And this is why David is able to lie down in the midst of terrible circumstances and sleep peacefully. Because God's assurance is better than man's assurance. If only we would also see that in the midst of our hardships and our times of trouble as well. So because the Lord's affirmation is better than man's affirmation, because the Lord's avenues are better than man's avenues, because the Lord's abundance is better than man's abundance, and because the Lord's assurance is better than man's assurance, we are called to rest in Him. But something we must never forget is the reason why we have access to God's affirmation, avenues, abundance, and assurance. It is only because of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. None of us are naturally able to have the Lord's affirmation, avenues, abundance, or assurance, because all of us, as Ephesians 2:3 says, are children of wrath. In other words, we've all sinned against the Lord. We've all turned our backs on Him. We've all rebelled against Him. We've all sought our own avenues, as we talked about earlier. And because of this, all mankind, including David, deserve to die and to experience the wrath of God. Yet God, in His great love for us, sent Jesus to die on that cross as a perfect sacrifice for our sins. He sent Jesus to raise from the dead 3 days later, defeating death and sin, so that when we put our faith in Jesus, we're not only forgiven of our sins, we're not only given an eternal relationship with God, but we have full access to God and all of His benefits. So it is through Christ and Christ alone that we have access to His affirmation, avenues, abundance, and assurance. And it is because of what Jesus has done that when God looks at us, He gives us His affirmation as children of God. It is because of what Jesus has done for us that we are able to walk in God's avenues, because His Holy Spirit guides us and teaches us in the truth. It is because of what Jesus has done that we are blessed with the abundance of God. As Jesus says in John 10:10, I came that you may have life and have it abundantly. And it is because of what Jesus has done that we may have God's assurance of safety and protection, because we know that nothing, nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Therefore, my brothers and sisters in Christ, when we are in trouble or when we are in conflict, just like David, and being wronged, let us rest in Christ, because His affirmation, His avenues, His abundance, and His assurance are far better than our own or anything else this world can provide. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to You this morning, and we confess, Lord, we often settle for lesser things. We often fail to recognize the value of what we have in You. And I pray this morning that we would realize how precious You truly are to us, that we would realize that You are our greatest treasure. And Father, I just ask that when we are in difficult times, when we are hard-pressed and in a corner with our backs to a wall, that we would not take matters into our own hands or settle for something less, but we would truly realize and meditate on the fact that your affirmation, your abundance, your assurance, your avenues are so much better than anything else this world has to offer. In your name we pray. Amen.